All right. Today's subject is love is the solution. Everybody say love is the solution. All right. So we're teaching about love equals victory. Now, I want you to really think about this for a moment, that in every situation, crisis, circumstance you face, you should always precede your thinking and your speaking about what would love say, what would love do, what would love decide, because love is a solution. Now, in John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, John 21, I'm going to start reading at verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 1, out of the New King James Version. It says, after these things, now Jesus is already raised from the dead, and he's over, shows up for the third time, and he's at on the shoreline eating breakfast. And seven of his disciples are out there in the water. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And the way he showed himself, Simon, Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, two others of his disciples were together. Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And he went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught what? Nothing. Now all seven of them were professional fishermen, businessmen. This was their livelihood, their vocation in the natural before Christ. But when the morning was now had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus, so they didn't recognize him. They couldn't distinguish him. And Jesus said to him, children, do you have any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now they recognize him. Now, first they didn't recognize his image. They didn't recognize his voice. But they recognize him because of a miracle. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then, as soon as they come to land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said, bring me some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. I mean, that's a big catch. Now, you catch one, you know how we are. One time we took, when the kids were little, went down fishing in Baffin Bay, and we're all taking pictures, selfies of fish, right? You get one big one, and you're like, let's take a selfie. Let's frame this thing. 153. And altogether were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come eat and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this was now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And, of course, he answered. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, do you love me? Now, if you remember history, Peter denied the Lord, what, three times, so he had to confess and release his love to the Lord three times as God, the Lord, was restoring him. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. And when you are old, and you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you to where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, we said it before, but I'll say it again. Love is the only solution and the only one weapon that can solve the problems that tear people apart. We learned last week that Christians are to love unconditionally, sacrificially, and personally. So anytime we say, well, I did this for you, or I'm doing this for you, there's strings attached. There's conditions that are leveraged or applied. The God kind of love is unconditional. It doesn't matter if they love you back or not, or give you back reciprocal or not. Sacrificially means that sometimes you're not going to feel like it or think like they deserve it, but you do it anyway. Personally means that you have to be personally involved in your love walk and your love relationship with others. Love, as we defined, is an unconditional and unselfish or selfless commitment and care to an imperfect person. It's defined again as your unconditional and selfless commitment and care to an imperfect person. Your commitment is contributing to their good and to their benefit and to their blessing and not to their downfall, demise, or destruction. Now, let's go back and examine this, a section of this in the New Living, verse 15 through 17. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Powerful question. Powerful question. He says, Peter replied, you know, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him, verse 16, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter says, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said the third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Now, the backdrop, as we know, they went back to their old life, their old business, the old way of living. And Jesus provides us a powerful, beautiful love solution because Peter was feeling like a failure. Even Jesus reached down to what he went back to and identified with his trade, his vocation, and his old name. Remember, God, the Lord called Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, or Jonas, was pebble. Peter was what? Rock. So Jesus said, you've gone back to being a pebble. And some people step outside of Christ and step back from Christ to go back to being a pebble, to go back to being a position where you identified with your old past, your old predicament, your old pain. You know, someone once said Peter should be in minister's rehab because he denied the Lord three times. Now, not only did he deny the Lord, but he saw how the Lord was getting beat and tortured, and he still denied him. When he stood up there and spoke in the garden, said, Lord, I'll go with you, die. He's the one who grabbed the sword from the Roman soldier and cut off Malchus's ear, who was the servant of the high priest, which was a crime. He had a double felony. He had a crime punishable by death by grabbing a Roman soldier's sword, and he also cut off the servants of the high priest's ear. Probably was aiming to cut off his head, but he missed his head, cut off his ear. Jesus had to heal the guy's ear back to keep Peter from going to prison and being executed, because Peter was the number one guy. He's number one disciple. So he's feeling like a failure. He's feeling like Jesus is dead and gone. He's gone away. This whole ministry thing for 3.5 years, we might say that old church thing for 3.5 years or 18 years, it's over. He said, Simon, now notice the first question. Do you love me more than these? His seven fishing buddies. His seven business partners. In other words, he said, you've gone back, and they said, are we going with you? Because he was the leader. And Jesus had to restore him back to his eternal purpose and his eternal call and his God's eternal plan. He said, you got to love me more than you love your skill set, your trade, your craft, your business, your career endeavors. You got to love me more than this. You got to love me more than your buddies, your homeboys, your posses, your bros. Do you love me more than your bros? Come on now. He's trying to take him from where he went back to where he needs to be in Christ. He said, I taught you to be a fisher of men, and you went back to fishing fish. And you don't think I can't sustain you by doing what I called and created you to do? We always say, why is the love commandment so royal, so big? Because we're called to love God and love people. So Jesus was restoring Jesus back to loving him as the Lord, first and foremost. Do you love me? Now, if you ask yourself this question, do you love the Lord? Do you really love him? Some people say, well, I got my ticket to heaven. I'm saved. But do you love God? Do you really love God more than any other thing? Do you love the Lord more than your family? I got one amen. So that's kind of about normal for, because people will sacrifice and even suffer for their family, but they won't sacrifice for the Lord. So he's calling Peter back, and today he's calling us back to his, the way he did with Peter, to a love solution. You to put things back into order and proper perspective and priority in your life, you got to love the Lord more than you love anybody or anything else. Are you listening to me? He first had to establish that. You got to love God. You got to love me more than your friends, your family. Because these were business partners. I mean, these guys were, they were in serious bit. This is how they made a living. Amen. So they worked all night, going back doing what they knew to do. And then what happened? They caught nothing. on this 18th anniversary celebration, if we go back, what we going to do? We're going to accomplish what? He already told them in John 15, without me, you can't do nothing. You can do something. You can fish all night, but you ain't catching nothing. Amen. You can toil all night. You can go back to your skill set. Well, I got the talent. I got the resume. I got the ability. Without Jesus, nothing. You cannot produce any eternal fruit without the Lord. And we said that's the reason you're created. That's the reason you're called to love God, to serve God. Come on now, to live for God. And when we die and meet the Lord, we're going to have to give account for what we did. Now, three things I want you to see his approach from Jesus is dissected a little bit. First, Jesus never asks us a question to find the answer. I've always found when I go to the Lord with my big problems and my pity and my pride, every time I go to the Lord with my pity and my pride, he always asks me a question. And it's not like he doesn't know the answer. He already knows. But what is he doing? The thing that Jesus does, our Lord does, when he always asks you a question, he's trying to bring an awareness and bring an awakening in you. Do you know what you're doing? Did you know your love is out of order? Anytime I brought a gripe or complaint, this situation, could be in the house or outside the house. And you're trying to convince the Lord. Why don't you do something about this? Why don't you take care of this? Do you see what's going on here? And he comes back to me with a question. Why are you asking me questions? I'm asking you questions, Lord. But he's bringing an awareness and an awakening to you. Just like he did with Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? Or Simon, he called him. Because he was saying you're identifying with yourself outside of Christ. Not but what I called you in Christ. Second thing, Jesus shows his great kindness and compassion when he shows up at our lowest moments of our lives. Now what happened? They thought the ministry was over. I denied the Lord. Peter probably was depressed and discouraged. And what happened? The other thing, what happened with Peter is that they fished all night because he decided, I'm going to go back to doing what we good at, to do what I was supposed to do. And it's not successful like it was. See, when you go back to your ex, you miss the Lord's next. Some people like to go back. Look back. Remember, he said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. If you ever want to see the power of God, never look back. But the Lord shows up at our lowest moments. See, they went back to something they were good at and earned a living by, and they were unsuccessful. All nights, all seven of them, caught nothing. They said, this is the best time to fish. We know what we're doing here. And they were feeling like failures. Venturing with the Lord for 3.5 years, their Lord and their leader, now he's gone. And so they're now moping around just like sometimes people do today. They feel like, man, last 2022 was horrible. I'm behind schedule. I didn't get stuff done and I feel like a failure. I guess I'm in the wrong place preaching today. Third thing we see is Jesus' love solution brings forth a recovery and a restoration of what has been lost, what has failed, what has fallen apart in our lives. Why don't people go to love, God is love, to get the solution that tears them apart or tears their business apart or tears their finances or their physical health and healing apart? So Jesus restores Peter through love. That's why we're studying love and emphasizing love at the beginning of the year, because love equals victory. I've always found that usually a failure or a struggle or a situation where there's an obstacle that seemingly can't be removed is because of a love issue. We had to let love get back in order. Sometimes you have to love your house back in order. You have to love your marriage back in order. You have to love your family back in order. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Because we're in a season of divine recovery and restoration. Now notice what Job did in Job 42:10. He had lost everything. Everybody remember the story of Job? He lost everything. What did he do? He lost his children through tragedy. He lost his servants. He lost his cattle. All his livestock, all his livelihood, his money, basically, you say. He lost all his money. He lost his family. He lost his business, his employees. He lost his property. He lost his lands. They got burned up, burnt down. He was the richest man in the county at the time. He lost everything. And then his wife comes in. She walked in and says, I got my suitcases packed. Curse God and die. I'm out. So he lost his wife. And then his friends come in. You must have sinned. They coming in judging him. No love solution there. They said, you must have sinned. Oh, no, it's your problem, Job. All this happens for a reason. God works in mysterious ways. His wonders perform. And so that's just a lie. That's not true. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. Amen. God's a God of love. He's not in there taking everything from you, destroying you, causing you to be poor, or causing you to be sick. He's not putting cancer on his kids. That's not God. God's a God of love. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So he's lost everything. And then in about chapter 39, 40, God comes on the scene because he's been complaining in this whole season of Job's life. Some people think it was a whole life, but it was only 9 to 18 months, most scholars will believe. So 9, 18, he had a bad year. Let's say he had a bad year. And I know some people can relate to that, having a bad year. And so he had a bad year, and God says, come on. In his darkest, lowest moments, when his friends finally walked away from him. Y'all remember that? If you read the book of Job, his friends finally walked. Everybody left him. He lost everything. But the Lord shows up in his lowest moment. He's sick. In ashes, boils, he's hurting, lost everything. And he says, wake up. And what did God start asking Job? Questions. Questions are not for you to give the Lord an answer, but for him to bring you to an awareness and an awakening. He had to wake Job up and wake him out of this depression and discouragement and his mouth. Where were you when I made the fountain? Where do you know how the sun does his thing, how the earth rotates on its axis? Were you there when I measured the water, when I measured the universe with the span of my hand? Were you there? And he woke him up. Then he got a revelation. He wants me to go back in love. And what happened? Job 42, verse 10. When Job prayed for his friends, the people who walked out on him, the Lord restored his fortunes. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, that's a key for some of y'all. Because whatever's been lost in previous past, last year or during the pandemic, you can be restored. There is a love solution. What is it? What did Jesus tell us? Pray in Matthew 5:44 and 45. What happened? But I say to you, love who? Love your enemies. Matthew 5:44 through 45, New King. Love your enemies. Well, that's a revelation. That's a love solution. Bless those who curse you. That means, bless just simply means do something or say something good about that person. Do something or say something good about that person. But he says, who are you supposed to bless? The people who do things and say things bad about you. So you bless those who curse you. Now, we love to hang around our friends and our pizos and our partners. They all text. We all pat each other over the back. We stroke one another. Hey, we show up on your birthday. We bless you on your birthday. You bless me on mine. You know, the reciprocal. He said, bless those who curse you. The people who are wagging their tongues behind your back. The people that are stabbing you in the back. The people who are ostracizing you and criticizing you and running you down with their tongue. Come on now. And doing things that they know dishonor you, disrespect you, and disregard you. He said, bless those who what? Curse you. That's point. That's love solution number two. He said, first, love your enemies. Love's main manifestation is what? To give and to what? Forgive. Can you imagine giving to your enemy? Hey, we just thought we'd just bring you dinner. You've been an ugly neighbor. They've been an ugly neighbor, you know, for example. They've been an ugly neighbor, but the Lord says, go buy their groceries this week. You stand in line at HEB, you bring six or seven bags of groceries. We just want to bless you this week. We want to cook you a meal. Bring you a catered meal. Love what? Gives. Love what? Forgives. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for love solution. He said, do good to those that hate you. Now, come on now. Jesus got really deep now. He's stepping up. He said, don't do good to those that hate you. Not like you. So your do-gooding or do-gooder actions should be to the people that hate you. People that have drunk a whole gallon of Haterade that morning and spit it up on you. Somebody said, hallelujah. And he said, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your fathers in heavens. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Everybody say, wow. Isn't that a good love solution? All right, let's go a little bit deeper here. See, love gets and casts its net on the right side of the relationships. What was the first thing Jesus said? You know, he doesn't show up in the lowest point of your life and does not have a solution. That's just like saying the Holy Spirit is not good enough or God can't take care of this problem. God always comes up with a solution. What did he tell Abraham when he was saying, wait a minute now, God, wait a minute now, let this handmaid Hagar and Ishmael be my son. Now, that was legally his son, but it was from his handmaid, not his wife. That was the woman of promise. And he said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You might say, wait a minute, my back's against the wall. I've got a deadline in 24 hours. Is there anything? Come on now, too hard for the Lord? We've been fishing all night. Children, you got any fish? He already knew. And they said nothing. He said what? Cast your net on the right side of the ship. Or the boat. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. And he said, and you will what? He's the Word made flesh. The Word works. He said, I'm the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if I'm the way, you'll never get lost. You'll never lose. Come on now. If I'm the truth, that means I'll never lie. You'll never be deceived. If he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and he said, and you will find some fish. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are y'all here this morning? He said, you'll find some. There's always a love solution, but God cares and knows you. And he knows your situation. So they cast. So they obeyed divine instruction. And they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Somebody say, glory to God. See, Jesus always shows up. And he showed up here in a time of barrenness and unfruitfulness. And he asks them a question and then responds with a word of love and a word of divine instruction. He shows us his kindness again. He shows his kindness again when they were feeling like failures and they were tired and there was no results from their labor. Some people even think 2022 or the last 3 years, wasted years. Some people lost money in the market. Man, I don't know what's going on with these investments, these IRAs. Well, you know, God's not into the business of you losing your savings or your investments. Amen. God's not rejoicing in heaven and saying, well, look at them. They're going through a crisis and they're losing all their money. They're losing their house. They're losing their cars. That's not a love solution. So he said, I want to reverse this curse of doing business, toiling all night, and catching nothing. This barrenness and this unfruitfulness is not what God's all about. So it was through Jesus' love and instruction that we learned that we need to get on the right side of the relationship. Peter and his seven buddies went back. God's not saying go back or go outside of him or do things and decide things apart from him. That's not wisdom, right? Are y'all seeing this? We got to get on the right side of the relationship. Come on now. We got to get on the right side of the partnership. We got to get on the right side, come on now, of the membership. Praise God. In 18 years, we got to get on the right side of the relationship with Christ. We got to live in Christ and refuse to step outside of Christ or do things apart from Christ. The right side is the love and forgiveness side. The right side is the love solution to the barrenness, the brokenness, the bitterness that has occurred in our hearts, in our homes, or in our lives. 153 large fish was a result of their obedience to the love solution. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some other lessons we learn are this. As we said before, Jesus challenges us never to fall back or go back to natural human love, which is based on self. We said it before. The three different kinds of love that's not the God kind of love are Eros, Storge, and Phileo. Phileo, brotherly love, friendship love, Storge, family love, domestic love, like love to a parent, child, so forth, husband, wife. And then, of course, Eros, romantic love. They're good the way God intended them to be, but they're not good enough for you to win and have victory. Don't go back to just natural human. That's why he asked Peter, do you love me more than these? This is not emotional love. This is not natural love. This is not based on selfishness and self-centeredness, because love, that kind of love, can turn to hate overnight. Amen. So he challenges us never to go back, to fall back to natural human love, which is selfishness, but it can turn to hatred, bitterness, brokenness of the relationships, of the partnerships, of the memberships that we engage in, and we are to engage in and enjoy. Natural human love is based in selfishness, and it's not good enough. We need to love and obey the Lord more than our flesh and our feelings. You think over 18 years? Now, some of you here were here the first service. They showed it on the screen. Or the first time we were in the hotel. You think you feel like getting up going to church? I felt some people think, you know, they got a special feeling on pastors. You wake up every morning and say, yeah, it's Sunday. I want to go to church. Some Sundays, I just want to stay in the bed. But I have to answer that Lord's question. Do you love me more than this? Amen. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. You think about the many times good, well-meaning Christians, lose a good job, change jobs, get into conflict with their boss or their managers, or people who cause brokenness and bitterness to spread through their family or their family unity because they want to just be a bad person. They want to be a mad person. They want to promote their sadness and sorrow and self-pity in that family. Y'all got quiet. Real quiet. Amen. We need to obey and love the Lord more than our flesh and our feelings. Amen. See, that's a big problem, but there is a solution. Everybody say a love solution. Secondly, our Lord is challenging us to trust him and love him more than we love our boys, our friends, our girlfriends, our couple partners and friends, or love to get our way sometimes. You know, sometimes people wield their power and influence wherever they are because they want it, got to have it their way. Got to be my way. I don't like it because I didn't suggest it or I didn't originate the idea. That's not love. That's pride and selfishness. Amen. So you got to let loose of yourself and get yourself out of the way. Doing our own thing. Deciding I'm the boss of me. Well, that's a problem because you don't love the Lord more than what you want to do. Jesus made more. You got to love Jesus more than justifying yourself or self-pity. Always talking about and droning on about yourself. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my circumstances? Instead of what's right with God and what's right with the Lord. See, the love that Jesus gives and demonstrates to us is not just verbal. It's visible. You show up. You show up. You can see the giving. You can see the attending, the coming. You can see the serving. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Word and deed. Show it. Jesus' love is sacrificial, even to those that are different and difficult. Even though people are yapping at you, say, why are you doing that to them? Why are you giving that to them? I'm doing it as a sacrifice. Because that person may be different. They may be difficult. But I'm doing it based on a choice to love. A choice to forgive. Obeying Jesus' words is the third thing we learn. His words, his voice, leads to miracles and manifestations. You know, over 18 years, I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is you have to willingly obey divine instruction. You don't move out on your own. You don't move out ahead of God. That's where the mistakes lie. That's where the mess comes in. That's where the misery falls out on you. If you want miracles, if you want manifestations, you wait on the Lord. You seek the Lord. You tell the Lord, what do you think about this? God is love, and he will never tell you anything outside of love. Amen? Because he's the love solution. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So here's some practical solutions as we get ready to close. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, I'm reading out of NIV this time, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves. Everybody say, you got your clothes on? I know you got your natural clothes on, but your spiritual clothes. We really have an exciting service if you didn't have your clothes on. He said, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another, even as you have a grievance against someone. Even if you have a grievance against someone, that means if you're offended at someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Verse 14 in King James says, above all these, put on charity. Everybody say charity, which is the bond of perfect. So are you putting your clothes on every day, your love clothes on? So if you put it on, if you have to put it on, that means you can leave it off. See, charity in the general sense is love, benevolence, goodwill. It is love, kindness, affection, tenderness, especially to the needy and suffering. Charity is love with work clothes on. It's love in action. That's the old King James. That's what I came up on, cut my teeth on. Charity is the highest form of love because it signifies a unique selfless love God gives to us, and it's expressed through our own selfless love to others. Where is the love solution? Now, I'm going to demonstrate this, and I'm going to ask a good friend of mine. He loves another team, but that's okay. So, Josh, come on up if you would come. Put you on the spot here. All right, so he said put on. So we're going to test Josh's strength. He's got these broad shoulders and stuff. So, all right, so I'm going to need some help. Brother Steve, and you can help. All right, so he said put on compassion. So who's going to play compassion? Or it's going to little Donnie going to play compassion. Come on up, Don. And then we're going to put on kindness. So we're going to let Gabby come on up. And then, John, you can come on up. Put on humility. All right. So you guys got to get on, Brother John. You got to hang on to him, okay? So he's got to put it on. All right. So he's going to pick up. He's going to pick up little Donnie. He's going to pick up his daughter. Okay, John, can you jump on his back? He says, put on. All right. He's putting it on. All right. Oh, no. Well, wait till he stands up. Wait till he stands up first. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Okay. All right. Now you can go. All right. Come on. Now he's good. He's good. All right. So we're going to help him up. Put it on. Now, sometimes it may be hard like this, right? It may be hard. Can you stand up? Okay. All right. Good. All right. Come on. Come on up. All right. So he's got his cloak. He's got it on. Amen. He's putting it on. Guess what you got to do every day? Everybody say, put it on. Put it on. And so we're going to talk about where he's putting it. Now, you guys, let him down. Let him down. Let's give him a hand. We always like to be a blessing to the kids. So come on, John. Thank you so much. I always like to. It pays to be a part of Pastor's sermon. Praise God. We'll hit you up later, Josh. Amen. Everybody say, put it on. Are you putting it on? Now, I'm going to give you four things, areas that you need to put it on by at home. Everybody say, at home. Everybody say, our homework. So you got to show up. You got to be there. Be present. Time is the most valuable commodity you have. How much time are you giving to love your family, to minister to your family, to serve your family at home? So everybody say, show up. That what do you do at home? Show up. You don't just go and just disappear. Show up. Number two, listen up. You got to show up to the games. You got to show up to the things. You know, we tried to Even in having a church, we tried to show up to as many games and events for the kids over 18 years. We sacrifice, come straight from the game to here. You show up. You show up to church. Be present. Listen up. Everybody say, listen up. Listen to learn and to learn how to love better and bigger. Listening precedes learning. If you listen to their heart and seek to understand, then they'll understand your love toward them and how you can are growing and showing, trying to show how I can love you better, how I can love you bigger. Some people don't listen to people differently because they just want to hear what they will hear. They only want to understand what I want to understand. Listen up. Number two, speak up. Now, we talked about in pre-service prayer, everything gets done or comes undone by speaking. Your words matter. There's no inconsequence of words. The law of words is one of the most powerful laws in the universe. What you say is what you get. If you got a flat marriage, it's because your words have been flat. You got a flat family. If you got unloving, unforgiving relationship at home, it's because the words have been that way. Speak up. Speak up to affirm. Speak up to appreciate. Speak up to honor and value others. Celebrate. Don't just tolerate. You know, one of the things about strife and division or discord, disharmony, it is the beginning of magnifying differences through hate. You always, or you never like it when. It's a magnification of differences through hate. Speak up. When you speak up, you should be affirming. You speak up, you should be appreciated. You speak up to honoring and valuing, not just put your favorite subject in the middle. Me, myself, and I. My pain, my problem. You don't care about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody appreciates how hard I work and how much money I get. That's pride. That's self-pity. Amen. Don't just speak up to complain, criticize. Speak up to affirm, appreciate, celebrate, and not just tolerate. And number four, make up. Everybody say make up. Man, you can't be weeks, days, months of getting over a grudge, an offense, a bitterness. We got to be quick to forgive. Instant forgiveness, unconditional love. That means what? 5 seconds. And then you got to show your kids how to make up. In front of them, use the love language of an apology. Say, I'm sorry. Be quick to repent. Instant forgiveness and reconciliation. You know, over in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus even said, Matthew 5:23, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you. He said, leave your gift there before the altar. And go your way first to be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. That means you're not supposed to be giving with odds or issues against other people. Amen. Amen. And then number five, at home, shut up. Everybody say shut up. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or rude. So what does it mean? That means no criticizing, no complaining. No gossiping or slandering about others. Respond with no comment. For practice a vocabulary of silence. You don't always have to have the last word. Amen. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and walk in love. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a what? Multitude of sins. It means to prevent it. You know, you sin with the mouth a lot of times unknowingly. That's why sometimes I pray Psalms 39:1. Lord, put a guard over my mouth and give me the ability so that I will not sin with my tongue, because I can slip with my lip. I can lose the grip on my lip and let it slip. Amen. I mean, I'm not the only one. And, you know, Proverbs 6:2 says you're snared with the words of your mouth. I can clap back, come back, or give a quick slap back with my words, and I cause more sin to get in the house in just a few moments. You know, like Deacon Smith said in the years gone by, he was 91 years old, and he told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, you know, I asked the Lord three things. I came to the altar to receive him as my Savior. And then when he was 50 years old, he got a revelation that I need to come and receive Jesus as my healer. So for 41 years, from 50 to 91, he had no health issues. And he said, at 91, I had the same strength, functionality, and stamina and strength as a 21-year-old man. He went to work every day at 91. He said, he asked the Lord, he said, you know the number of my hair, so keep my number from fading away. So he said he had a full head of hair, no baldness. I missed that memo. So he had no baldness, and his wife winked in the affirmative. Yep, he's just as strong and vigorous as a 21-year-old man in every area. Praise the Lord. And he told him, check my teeth. He had all his teeth in his mouth, all his original teeth. He had no teeth issues, 91 years old. But he said, you know one other thing I asked the Lord to do? He said, I asked the Lord to keep this. He got a revelation from Psalms 121. The Lord is my keeper. He will keep you from all evil. He said, Lord, help me keep this. And he said he grew up in a small town, McKinney, Texas, because he was visiting there. And he said 6,000 people. And everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. And there's a bunch of gossip. And did you hear about this person? And he would always say, no comment. We read it last week, 1 Peter 3, verse 9. He said, if you love life and want to see good days, he said, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. In other words, he said, I'm not going to contribute to gossiping, slandering, criticizing, talking about other people. So he would always say no comment. That's why he was healthy for 41 years, no sickness. He was healthy, had all his teeth in his mouth, had no big dental issues. Amen. Every step out of love is a step out of God, and it's a step into sin. And sin lets the devil get in. Are you listening to me? So sometimes we got to shut up. We got at home, we got to show up, listen up, speak up, make up, and shut up. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Then the work you got to do is in your heart work. You got to confess. How do you get sin out? By the way of the mouth. How do you get righteousness in? By the way of the mouth. If you got sin in, you got to get sin out. You got to sweep and mop your heart. You got to vacuum that sin out of your heart. The only way sin gets out is you have to acknowledge, confess it, agree with God and says, I was wrong, you were right. I'm not arguing with you, God. I'm not trying to defend myself. I missed it. I blew it. Forgive me. And he said he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Man, I'm preaching real good today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you got to forgive. Look at Ephesians. In your heart, you got to forgive. You can't walk up to somebody and say, well, I forgive you. And you're mad and still got the attitude. You still got the heart issue. You're harboring in your heart. That's not forgiveness. That's not totally forgiving. Look at this. And Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Is your heart tenderized? Is your heart tender? Oh, I just want to be tough. I want to talk tough, talk rough, talk bad, talk sad to people. Well, go on with your bad self. But your heart going to be hard. Your heart going to be hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness keeps your heart tender versus harboring unforgiveness makes your heart tough and full of toxins, toxic emotions. Because you know they hadn't forgiven you. Then when 5 years later, they bring up something you did 5 years ago. Because forgiveness is forgetting. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then you got to pray. Look at James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. And then number four, in your heart, you got to express gratitude. Why do you express gratitude? We celebrate 18 years. Because gratitude refocuses your heart's affections. Some people fall out or get into staleness and barrenness in their relationships. As husband and wives, you know, you still should thank each other for every time you cook a dinner. They bring you a plate of food. Thank you. Because thankful gratitude refocuses your heart's affections. When you walk through that door of the church, you should say, thank you, Lord, that I have a church I can go to without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. Praise God. You should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I got friends, I got family. See, one theologian once said, God is always doing 10,000 things for you at any moment in time. 10,000 things he's doing. And we may be only aware of, this is a renowned theologian, he said, we may be only aware of three things. Now, God's doing 10,000 things. He's causing this car to miss you in a traffic situation, because you know traffic gets pretty rough, right? And he might have, you know, this tree didn't hit your house, or this thing didn't happen to your kids, or this, you know, this bullet somebody was shooting stray didn't hit you. He's doing 10,000 things for you all the time, at any moment of time. We may be only aware of three of them, but what do? We thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Don't become ungrateful. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then the third thing, that where love needs to work, practical love is hard work. At home, in your heart, and by hard work. By being persistent, by being consistent, and by being resilient. By being persistent, you'll get it. By being consistent, you'll keep it. By being resilient, you'll see the full manifestation of it, and you give thanks to God for it. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please?